Real news. We'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully, Carol Kay. I haven't spoken to her in a bit, but I'll give her an email. Carol Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com will join us. And it's weird to say because I'm heading off to bed after this because my work day ends. But to everybody, get back to work. With the creamer of steam, how many more does that leave? Give me a pot of scotch, heat up a pan of Stan, throw in a handful of dicks, that'll do. Every trick to the corral of mash upon a tray. This is the Quality News Network. Federal health officials are trying to determine how an Atlantic man infected with extremely dangerous strain of tuberculosis was able to evade authorities and travel through six countries. When the CDC tracked him down in Rome and ordered him not to travel, the man and his wife fled. Authorities say the man carried medical masks, but witnesses on one of his transatlantic flights said he didn't bother to put it on. In southern Afghanistan, a Chinook helicopter was shot down last night, killing five Americans, a Canadian, and a British soldier. NATO rescue troops hurrying to the scene were ambushed by Taliban rebels and were forced to call in air support. In Fallujah, a suicide bomber detonated himself in a line of potential police recruits this morning. 25 people were killed, 50 wounded. In Cuba, a Saudi Arabian prisoner at Guantanamo Bay committed suicide yesterday, the fourth detainee to do so since the facility opened up in 2002. 380 prisoners are held at the camp. Two have been charged with the crime. Australia and the Philippines today signed a treaty designed to improve security in the region. Australian troops will train Filipino forces in counterinsurgency techniques. Muslim extremists are a serious problem in the southern Philippines. Israel is willing to relinquish $700 million in Palestinian tax revenues, provided none of the funding falls into the hands of Hamas. The U.S. and EU have helped design a mechanism to funnel the money to the more moderate Fatah party of President Mahmoud Abbas. The FBI says its annual crime report, to be released next week, will show an increase in murder, robbery, and other felonies. It is the second consecutive year violent crime has grown in the U.S. In New York, police arrested a 65-year-old man federal prosecutors say is the mafia boss of the Genovese crime family. And in Seattle, a man described as one of the world's most successful spammers has been indicted on 35 counts, including mail, wire, and email fraud, aggravated identity theft, and money laundering. Federal law enforcement agents say computer users may actually see an immediate decrease in spam. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business Next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Weather forecasters say Tropical Storm Barbara, currently off the coast of Oaxaca, can be expected to reach the resort town of Acapulco by Monday. Tropical Storm Alvin is also in the Pacific Ocean, but is not expected to make landfall. The Spanish government has filed suit against the Florida treasure hunters who discovered an estimated $500 million worth of colonial-era coins in an Atlantic Ocean shipwreck. The lawsuit says the vessel was probably a Spanish galleon and gold and silver should be returned to Spain. According to the Commerce Department, the economy's first quarterly growth was the worst showing in more than 4 years. Some economists blame the swollen trade deficit and a paring down of business inventories. Motorola announced it will eliminate another 4,000 jobs this year as part of its plan to cut costs and raise profitability. Nigerian rebels have freed four U.S. Chevron oil workers held in captivity for the past 3 weeks. Militants have kidnapped nearly 100 foreign oil employees this year. 20 remain in rebel hands. Light sweet crude is trading at $63.18 a barrel. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is up 16 points, the Nasdaq up 9, the S&P 500 up 2 points at 1531. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
and then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
All right, everybody, welcome aboard. It's Foxed Up here for a Thursday morning, and welcome. Just as we're getting ready to kick things off in the chat room, I read this thing, Fort Lewis in the Northwest has decided to stop performing individual funerals for soldiers. We're told that they say that there are just too many deaths to perform them all. And it's believed to be said that they also mentioned that it was getting to be too expensive. That's what's too expensive? Burying the dead is what's too expensive? Can I count the ways that is just wrong? That's believable. And as Agnes says, you know, bring the troops home. It'll get a whole lot cheaper. Solve two birds with one stone. Jeez! That's just shocking if that's the case. I was not planning on going there, but I just was just so outraged. That's just insane. War is a racket. Any question? Jeez! I mean, I said it the other night. It feels like the planet's just like going absolutely nuts. It's just all kind of, there's this undercurrent of insanity. Oh my God. And to add to the insanity, and I'll have to do a little bit of backtracking on this, just to be fair to you all. Mr. Johnny Howard. My Johnny. He's been marking time on the whole coming up with a climate change plan thing, kind of at an arm going, but I've got this report that I'm waiting on. Now, granted, he'd call a big study group in. And so he finally got his report, the thing that he's been using as the way to not have the conversation. And he's really starting to look foolish, and man, did they tear his little mono-browed sideways today. It was just amazing. They were raking him over the coals. And, I mean, he stood his ground, but now... Here's a guy who's on this report. Now, someone in the government, this has been hysterical to watch, someone in the government has leaked to the opposition all this information on a supposedly non-existent government-paid climate change ad campaign that has yet to be approved yet, but they have everything down to the title, the cost, the whole thing where Howard's going to rewrite himself as having been the environmental prime minister as Australia's greenhouse gas emissions have just gone through the roof and we're our economy's rocking along because of all the coal that China buys from us. Australia's mining boom is all because of China. So he gets his report today, and Labor tried to get in before he got his in, because it was one of the worst kept secrets since the last badly kept secret. And so Labor came out with a framework of what they do. So now Howard gets the report, but does he talk about any of the details yet? No, it goes into secret caucus meetings until they come up with their decision, where the government's going to make a decision on the study that they paid for, are actually the Australian people paid for. And so we haven't gotten the details, but stuff is leaking again. The dry country has a drippy faucet when it comes to political talk. And so we're getting, drips and drabs. It's been all the talk all day long. Last couple of days, actually, in Parliament have just been fiery over the environment. It's been really great fun to watch. But it's kind of one of these things, depending on who you read. If you're going to go into a carbon trading scheme, which is actually like the target of what you can't exceed, and so then you set up a market in which to set the price of carbon, but the crucial part of it is that the government has to set the level. So if you were going to make it really have a change, to actually see change in as short a period of time as is possible in these things, you'd have to set it to something at least $50 a ton. Now, Howard's doesn't come anywhere near that. You surprised yet? I'm not. His came in at 20. Now, there was an interesting discussion on Late Line, which I'll get into after we take our first break here, but this is going to cause some interesting debate, because Howard makes a comment that it's going to be a benchmark. Funny that word popping up out of Howard's mouth after all this, but a benchmark document in the discussion, and I reckon it will. Now, whether the policy that comes from it will be strong enough to make any difference, there I have my doubts. So, I'm going to get into a few things regarding this. It's going to be somewhat dry today, but there's a lot of information because this is going to end up playing in the greater conversation. So, and I bet the American right wing press will try and tout this thing a bit, But anyway, stick around. You're with John Fox here on Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. Stick around because we're going to come back and get a little bit into what this might mean. And we've got a track of the day, too. And it's just something just for fun. But anyway, stick around. You're on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
...on the part of the public, and that environmental issues are the number one.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway Insider, someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
All right, everybody, welcome back up here on the Head On Radio Network. And so old Johnny gets his climate report, and he won't even let anyone know what's, like, actually in it. He just stands there with this, like, pretty book that's been handed over. And so, again, this is, like, all speculation, but probably based on leaked information. It says, Prime Minister John Howard on Thursday, this comes from, where is this? The West Australian, the West.com.au. He got his, Thursday received his much anticipated report on emissions trading, which is understood to recommend a national scheme starting in 4 years' time. The report is also believed to recommend a a startup carbon price of $20 a ton, Network 10 has reported. Mr. Howard is expected to set up another task force to encourage regional emissions trading, the network said. The Prime Minister, who would not comment on the contents of the report on Thursday, touted it as a benchmark document on climate change. This report will make a massive contribution to the debate on climate change in Australia. Mr. Howard said at a formal blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it'll probably add to the debate of going, everybody, it's toothless! I bet it's toothless. I'll bet you anything it's toothless. And earlier tonight, or this morning, your time probably, but tonight here, on Lateline, they had the head of Origin Energy, which is a Queensland energy company, and they've been kind of on the a lot further ahead than most outfits on the learning curve, and has been investing heavily in biomass, and is actually doing some of that geothermal stuff, planning on doing some of that geothermal stuff that I talked about a couple weeks ago. And he said basically here in Australia, if you wanted to make it where there was very little effect, both, you know, financially and investment-wise, anything $20 and under, it really won't change much, and it won't make any difference. To now, and this is based on, you know, what target level the government sets as far as what it has to be brought down to. But then if it ends up getting to something like somewhere between 20 and 40, it'll actually make them change their plans somewhat on already in the works infrastructure for less carbon intensive options. And then anything from 50 and up will make significant changes. And he didn't seem to be completely, you know, like hearing, you know, something heavier didn't seem to really worry him too much. It was just more a concept of they needed the target in which to base the new system. And I would imagine that this gentleman, whose name I don't have in front of me in the transcript, wasn't up yet, you know, he might be a little bit better placed than a lot of the outfits here. I mean, I'm in New South Wales, a different state, and they come down here and give away compact fluorescent light bulbs, and all you have to do is sign a piece of paper, and they actually get part of the private or already that's been happening carbon trading scheme kind of thing, as far, and they get, you know, some government roddy rod. They have effectively reduced emissions in the state of New South Wales by so much by giving these bulbs away with the assumption that they're going to get used. They've also been working huge on biomass plants, which is, if you got a lot of landfill, one good way to deal with some of your issues. You deal with two issues there, actually. You burn the methane off, which is a greenhouse gas in itself, and you end up with much less in the way of carbon at the end. So that's a really, really good way to go. But anyway, back to Howard and his report. Now, he's been really riding this report, waiting on it to come out, and it's just been the brick wall that he's been able to kind of throw up whenever the discussion would get too heated on climate change, and the opposition would get him on you know, you haven't done anything, you're not doing anything, you're not even going to say what you're going to do now, you know. And they, even though he's come around to a point, it's all poll driven, and they got him on this in question time today. It was outrageous. It was absolutely hysterical to see Howard so on the back foot. It was a riot. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it mutually. But if it starts at $20 a ton, that's going to be a bit of a... That's not going to make any difference to anybody, which is rather unfortunate, because what would be worse, almost worse than no policy at all right now, would be to have a policy that sets in motion something that's going to fall so short to not make a difference anyway, but pays lip service to it. And we don't have time for lip service stuff anymore. We really, truly don't. We're getting on that time where we, you know, only have some window. So anyway, instead of going on to another, we'll go to the track of the day, and you know, it's all big news. The police have reformed. And this is one of those relationships that I expected that it would have to take lots and lots of possible money over a short period of time for two people to actually get back together again, or a lot of years, or a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. Now, the police, a band that I always liked, but then there was a song that made me look at them differently, and I'm going to play that song. But, you know, I always thought they were kind of fun, some groovy stuff, some cool lyric. But then they played The Math Game. And I remember taking this track into a drum teacher of mine. And I had some stuff up here, but my browser's stuck. But anyway, this track, between the verse and the chorus, there is such just an absolute... How can one say it? Head mess with to the point of, huh? And it finally made sense to me many years later, because I couldn't figure out how they went from this disjointed, bloody, well, what sounded like a disjointed, off-tempo, weird reggae thing, and then into just a straight rockin' four. And then I come to learn later in life that Sting and Stuart Copeland couldn't stand each other. So then it all made sense. The drummer and the bass player hated each other. They're gonna make it as hard as possible for each other to you know, it's just gonna be head games the entire time. And they got on good terms for like one tour and one album, and it just wasn't the same. The tension was missing. It was so unfortunate. I remember taking this to my drum teacher, and I'm sitting there, and he goes, "Okay, it's all about this kick drum. We could find it if we can just follow this kick drum." And the kick drum, which sounds like it's on some squirrely upbeat thing, is actually on, I believe, 2 and 4. So anyway, as I draw a blank on the title of the track, here's The Police off Ghost of the Machine. Roll it, Agnes.
Thank you. The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Hello, kids. Surprise, surprise. I'll bet you're wondering why I'm popping up out of the blue. Something new is headed your way. It's the show that dares ask the question, just why in the hell are the straight evangelical Christians recruiting gay kids for their perverted lifestyle? The answer to this and more, coming in June.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Welcome back here on the Head On Radio Network. And I've been talking really, really dry stuff about Howard's climate change report. Well, I hope that climate change report has some of this in it. From the Sydney Morning Herald today. Cut CO2 or Australia will burn, say the experts. Subtle like a sledgehammer. Unless action is taken now to reduce carbon dioxide emissions, Australia will be unable to manage future catastrophic bushfires, leading climate scientists have warned. The co-director of the University of New South Wales Climate Change Research Center, Andy Pittman, says there will be a 100 to 200% increase in bushfire risk by the year 2100 if Australia continues on its path of high emissions. Hello? Professor Pittman said the nation's governments would be at a loss to adapt to such a scenario. Pay now or pay a whole lot more later. But if Australia was able to meet the low emissions guidelines set by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the increase in bushfire risk would be just 20 to 30% by 2100, he said. Professor Pittman told the Bushfire in a Heating World conference in Sydney on Thursday, the low emission regime would allow governments to adapt to the increased risk by introducing new planning regulations, building codes, and educational programs. However, if we continue to track a high emissions future, we don't believe the increased bushfire risk would be adaptable to. Professor Pittman warned it was now certain global warming would cause temperatures to rise, and it was very likely it would result in a drier environment. Now, it gets worse, as if that wasn't bad enough. Again, this is another one of these things when it comes to this whole discussion, all the science that we get that gives us a timeline about how fast things are going to degrade, remember, each and every one of them is constantly being overwritten by new data which shows that it's speeding up, and we're seeing feedback loops occur where one effect feeds and becomes the cause of another thing which then feeds back. And this is where this happens.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. An army of labor activists will be in the streets of 9 states this summer as Working America goes door to door to mobilize American working families. Working America is a 1.6 million member community affiliate of the AFL-CIO. Its members are workers who are not in unions. Working America's focus right now is on health care, and it plans to have 2.5 million members by Labor Day 2008. Helmets to Hard Hats is an apprenticeship program started in New York City in 2003 that helps military veterans, active duty personnel, and reservists to find good union jobs after they leave the service. Helmets to Hard Hats' Ann Trinkle says it's an excellent way to reward and honor those who serve the country by helping transition them into solid middle class and higher jobs in the construction industry.
After the service that these young men and women have provided to our country, we feel as an industry it's only right that they should be rewarded with an opportunity to become the middle class or higher of the country.
Trinkle says the length of time spent in the Helmets to Hard Hats program varies according to the requirements of the particular trade involved. She says this program is a unique opportunity to help create the future, a good middle class future, for those who serve in the military.
Helmets to Hard Hats is the first time an industry as a whole has come together and with a national initiative that connects transitioning active duty and reserve component members with training and employment opportunities within the construction industry nationwide.
When bus drivers in Detroit were denied police protection for themselves and their passengers, they walked off their jobs just before the Memorial Day weekend. That solidarity got action. Henry Gaffney is president of Transit Workers 26 in Detroit.
We got drivers being assaulted, passengers being assaulted, people robbed, people shot at. My members just got fed up. The following day, the council did make a decision, and they did pass it so that we could get the Wayne County Sheriff's up on the bus.
United Food and Commercial Workers, Local 876 in Detroit, has a tentative contract agreement with Kroger covering 9,100 workers at 101 stores, but the union is facing the challenge of possible job losses at 66 Farmer Jack's grocery stores that are being sold by A&P. The union expects just 20 or so to remain operating as unionized stores owned by Kroger. ACORN, Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now, says there's a home foreclosure crisis nationwide following a decade of reckless subprime lending and mortgage marketing. ACORN activists this month protested the crisis by demanding that Denver's Office of Public Trustee institute a 6-month moratorium on foreclosures, and in Cleveland, ACORN activists interrupted a sheriff's auction May 14th to protest people losing their homes. As many as 2.2 million homes are at risk for foreclosure. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Oh, I'm getting so tired of that IP thing. I'm so sorry. Going to drive me crazy. Anyway. So, I was saying before I got so rudely cut off that if Australia doesn't seriously pull back, if we continue to go down the path we're going now with carbon emissions, by the year 2100, there will be a 200% rise in risk of bushfires. And then the other thing from previous stuff that came out earlier this year, the bushfires will be longer lasting. They'll burn one into another. They'll become huge, massive fires where, you know, 3-4 what would have been controllable blazes will just run into one another, and then it'll get to the point where those forests can't even replenish themselves because they just continue to burn. Someone said, did you say bushfire? Oh, it's just, but, you know, and then you get the whole release of carbon, loss of trees, it just feeds the thing, and it's going to end up getting faster and faster. This is why it's got, you know, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt either, you know, kind of ow now for a bit till we figure it all out, or a big ow later, like, you know, Mother Nature says, see yous. I'm sick of supporting you lot. You all make a mess. Ah, look at what you've done to the place. You've hardly been here long. Unbelievable. And another from the Green Car Congress at greencarcongress.com. Thank you, Gene. Study concludes 10 more years of business-as-usual CO2 emissions could make avoiding dangerous climate change impossible. Now, this is an international piece. An additional 10 years of continued rapid growth of CO2 emissions in infrastructure may make avoiding dangerous climate change impractical, if not impossible, according to a recently published study in the journal Atmospheric Chemistry and Physics. The lead author of the study, James Hansen, director of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies in New York, 46 other researchers from organizations in the U.S. and France also contributed to the work. The researchers used data from earlier warm periods in the Earth's history to estimate climate change impacts as a function of global temperature, climate models to simulate global warming, and satellite data to verify ongoing changes. Although identifying dangerous effects is partially subjective, the report concludes that additional global warming of more than 1 degree Celsius above the level in 2000 will have effects that may be highly disruptive and push the climate past tipping points. Tipping points can occur during climate change when the climate change reaches a state that such strong amplifying feedbacks, are activated by only moderate additional warming. The study finds that global warming of just 6/10 of a degree centigrade in the past 30 years has been driven mainly by increasing greenhouse gases, and only moderate additional climate forcing is likely to set in motion disintegration of the West Antarctic ice sheet and Arctic sea ice. Amplifying feedbacks include increasing absorption of sunlight as melting exposes darker surfaces, and speed up of iceberg discharges as the warming ocean melts ice shelves that otherwise inhibit ice flow. Again, you end up, there's a nut, you know, that just like with the trees, there's a feedback effect. When the water is ice, it reflects the sun's energy. When it's melted and dark as an ocean, it absorbs it. More warming. I mean, anyone who says, oh, the science isn't there. No, the science is there. And there's too many things happening at once for you to try and find loopholes out, because every loophole you're going to try and find will always be plugged by another piece of the science. He continues on saying, have we already passed a tipping point such that it is now impossible to avoid dangerous climate change? In our estimation, we must be close to such a point, but we may not have passed it yet. It is still feasible to achieve a scenario that keeps additional global warming under 1 degree centigrade, yielding a degree of climate change that is quantitatively and qualitatively different than under BAU scenarios. The researchers conclude that a CO2 level exceeding about 450 parts per meter would be dangerous. The current atmospheric concentration of CO2 is currently 383 parts per million, up from 280 parts per million at the start of the industrial age. Atmospheric carbon is currently increasing at about 2 parts per million a year. The team also used a computer model developed by the Goddard Institute to simulate climate from 1880 through today. The model included a more comprehensive set of natural and human-made climatic climate forcings than previous studies, including changes in solar radiation, volcanic particles, human-made greenhouse gases, fine particles such as soot, and the effect of particles on clouds and land use. Extensive evaluation of the model's ability, blah, blah, blah. A scenario that avoids dangerous climate change appears to be still technically feasible. Our concern that global temperature is nearly the level of dangerous climate effects implies that little time remains to achieve the international cooperation needed to avoid widespread undesirable consequences. Hoo-ya! CO2 emissions are the critical issue because a substantial fraction of these emissions remain in the atmosphere forever for practical purposes. The principal implication is that avoidance of dangerous climate change requires the bulk of coal and unconventional fossil fuel resources to be exploited only under condition that CO2 emissions are captured and sequestered. See, it should not be financially viable to do coal in a very short period of time. That's how it needs to be. A second inference is that the remaining gas and oil resources must be husbanded so that their role in critical functions such as mobile fuels can be stretched until acceptable alternatives are available, thus avoiding a need to squeeze such fuels from unconventional environmentally damaging sources. The task is to achieve a transition to clean carbon-free energy sources, which are essentially on the long run, without pushing the climate system beyond a level where disastrous, irreversible effects become inevitable. Hey! Heavy, 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 heavy caca. I mean, this thing just goes on and on. This is only excerpts from the report. The research found that eastern U.S. summer daily high temperatures that currently average in the low to mid-80s Fahrenheit will most likely soar into the low to mid-90s during typical summers by the year 2080 or the 2080s. In extreme seasons, when precipitation falls infrequently, July and August daily high temperatures could average between 100 and 110 degrees Fahrenheit in cities such as Chicago, Washington, and Atlanta. To reach their conclusions, the researchers analyzed nearly 30 years of observational temperature and precipitation data and also used computer model simulations that considered soil, atmospheric and oceanic conditions, and projected changes in greenhouse gases. The simulations were produced using a widely used weather prediction model coupled to a global climate model developed by NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies. Whew. Some pretty serious stuff. So let's hope that the opposition over in this little country over here has this in their hands when they go and work out the dealies with Howard's thing. Because this is just what you read of more and more when you really keep a close eye. What is the common thread in almost all of the systematic stories of the environment and its changes? Is the fact that we have these feedback loops happening, and feedback loops are natural. Everything works on feedback loops. All of our systems work on feedback loops. All the biochemistry that makes up our bodies, it's all feedback loops. So if we can have millions and millions of little feedback loops going on between cells and other things, You're telling me that we can't have feedback loops in things as huge as our atmosphere and our oceans? I mean, this is the whole thing with the with the current system, you know, the global current system that keeps, you know, the Northern Europe from being landlocked by ice every winter. You know, it stopped for a few minutes a couple years back. You do know that. And that's actually the kickover for an ice age. I'll tell you, when I do get in one of these, you know, kind of heated things with a denier or someone that just wants to be a thorn, and they say, "Well, how can you be so right? It was only 20 years ago you said we were headed for an ice age, but now you're saying it's getting warmer." And because it would be a lot quicker, you just want to pick them up and smack them around a few times. But you freak them out when you tell them that both answers are right. And they give you the, "Oh, you can't have it both ways. Ah, ha, ha, but this is what you don't understand, you shallow twit. You don't read far enough." It's the point of global warming, which is when the switch gets thrown to go into an ice age. It's not hundreds of years down the line. It can be as quick as 2, 4, or 6 years from once we really kick over the big tipping point. And then a whole bunch of the planet gets really, really cold. And it all starts to freeze again. Because that current system will stop. And the oceans will stop moving the way that they do. So they'll be able to freeze. So, as Howard finally gets his book, which he paid for, wasn't independent as far as I know. We'll see what happens with this argument, because I'll tell you, the Labor Party has been coming down like a ton of bricks on them in question time. I've been watching it all the last 2 weeks. It's been just a riot. And Howard had, you know, it's like $100 million he's gotten in Save My Butt in an election year advertising being paid for with taxpayer money. And I hear that up to $30 million will be on this, how Howard's been an environmental politician his whole career thing. Is that going to be called environmental choices, Johnny? When you let the big polluters regulate themselves or some nonsense? Carbon trading for profit or something? Someone's profit as opposed to actually getting the thing to work? And when is this country going to wake up that selling all this coal, although it's bringing in all this money, could lead to their demise? The responsibility has to come from the supplier sometimes, I think. I think that's also where it's, you know, you just can't go, "Well, I'm not the one boiling it. I'm just selling it to this other guy. He's going to burn it over there around the corner, you see. And so it's not coming in my apartment. It's not coming in your apartment." Anyway, thanks for being with me today. Sorry, it's been a bit dry today, but, you know, this is going to be, it's kind of like throwing something else into the mix, but it. Now we're going to actually see where both of these parties here come down, because remember, if Labor gets in, we're signing Kyoto, and that's going to put a lot of pressure on the United States, a lot of necessary pressure, you know, and maybe when they're finally just hanging out in the wind, because, I mean, there's stuff that I haven't even covered, the G8 thing that's been going on, and the U.S. is just like trying to shoot holes into the climate change papers that they want to release. you know, demanding certain wording be taken out and basically taking all the teeth out of it. And you know, they want to say that, you know, it's the most important issue facing us, you know, at this moment, and they want that just gone. No. You can't have the environment taking the heat away off of all this terrorism, you know. Before we go, all right, on the front page of the Horn, you can also find this at 12thharmonic.net. I've got, you'll see a little box in the sidebar. If you scroll down right below where the chatters box is, you'll see a thing called 1 billion bulbs. And it's a campaign to replace 1 billion incandescent bulbs around the planet. Now you can sign up to this thing, and you can then enter how many of each type of bulb you have personally replaced. And we've got a Horn group there, so I want to see how many people we can get to sign up to that. And you can backdate any CFLs you've ever bought. Put the date on there, and it gives you all the numbers of how much energy you've saved. And let's see how many we can add to this. Right now, there's three people signed up, and but anyway, I did this yesterday, so check out the front page. You'll see it. 1 billion bulbs. I think it'd be a good thing to get in on. Let's see if we can get on, you know, the top 10 list or whatever. So anyway, check that out. You can get there at headonradionetwork.com or over at 12thharmonic.net. So anyway, we got to get out of here. Thanks to Agnes Kincaid for producing today. Thanks to the Carpenters for everything they do. Thank you to our mods. Thank you to our bloggers. And thank you to Scott Berry at B1 Louder Productions. Thank you for the music. And
I would stop thinking
Ben
about
Birch
it.
Over at White Rose. Go over, do the right thing. You know he's the hardest working man in liberal talk. So, as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
Than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
...forcing allies to call in air support. Five Americans, a Canadian, and a British soldier were on the aircraft when it went down. In northwest Pakistan, militants raided the home of a tribal leader at dawn today. 13 people in a house were killed, 2 were wounded. The tribesman militants wanted was not in the home at the time of the attack. 13 passengers and 3 crew members on a KLM Royal Dutch airliner were injured when the jet hit turbulence shortly after takeoff in Amsterdam. Some of the injured were hospitalized when the plane landed in Osaka, Japan, early this morning. Australia and the Philippines today signed a treaty designed to improve security in the region. Australian troops will train Filipino forces and counterinsurgency techniques. Muslim extremists occupy the southern Philippines and pose a serious threat in the region. Israel is willing to relinquish $700 million in Palestinian tax revenues, provided none of the funding falls into the hands of the Hamas. The U.S. and EU have helped design a mechanism to funnel the money to the more moderate Fatah party of President Mahmoud Abbas. Actor and former U.S. Senator Fred Thompson said he's testing the political waters for a campaign run as the Republican presidential candidate. The 64-year-old Tennessee resident would be considered the truest conservative if he got into the race. In Seattle, a man described as one of the world's most successful spammers has been indicted on 35 counts, including mail, wire, email fraud, and aggravated identity theft. This is the Quality News Network.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 AM.